Hey guys, welcome to episode 74 of the JV Club with my guest, Jackie Cation. What a marvelous woman. I want to get straight into some shout outs. That's right. Do not PESCO, do not collect $200. I can't tell you the last time I played Monopoly, but boy, that is just one of those phrases that has made it into our vernacular. That's funny too, because I just remembered that Monopoly comes up in this episode with Jackie. So listen to that. I want to thank on Twitter, Cats Meow, Jordan V, Mr. Jumanji, Chris P, Bridget A, Kelly H, and Victoria P. I want to thank for their wonderful emails, Camille S, Megan C, and Patricia, who gets a special shout out in the JV Club advice section, the junior varsity section of this episode. I want to thank Jordy, who contacted me on Facebook. She's part of a very funny sketch troupe in Portland, Oregon, called The Third Floor. Jordy, I'm so glad you're listening to and enjoying the podcast. And I hope you enjoyed that really loud swallow that I just did while I was reading these shout outs. Lucy, I finally got your letter. I know I sent you an email about that as well, but thank you so much, adorable Joseph, Maria, Paul, and PJ on Autumn's Nerdist page. Really enjoyed your comments. Certainly enjoyed Maria and Paul's back and forth as you guys had a full conversation for all to enjoy on Autumn's Nerdist page. Also on Facebook, I want to thank Jamie for posting some nice gender neutral toys that Toys R Us carries, which we talked about on the Autumn podcast episode. I want to thank Maria for posting some very cool helmets that I believe are made in her home country. And I want to thank CJ. Thank you so much for your wonderful email and the photo of you scuba diving with jellyfish, which, as you imagine might happen, totally was amazing and gave me the creeps at the same time. So guys, thank you so much. I'm glad to be on LA ground for a while. I don't think that I'm heading anywhere crazy anytime soon. So I'm going to settle in, get some more podcast episodes logged for you. And t-shirts are actually now going into production. So very excited about that. The lead time's a little large, but I'll have more information on when they'll be available and how to get them very soon. So I think that is it for now. Unless I'm forgetting anything, I welcome you to enjoy this episode with the one and only Jackie.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
I wish I played a multitude of games. You know what? I play a few games on the show.
Oh, yeah?
I do. We'll get to those.
We'll get to those.
But saying that I play a lot of games makes it sound like...
Like you're playing games, man.
Or that I'm manipulating.
Or you're some sort of game player.
Listen, no. I am deep into your psyche right now, and you are not even going to realize how much I'm playing games.
We were talking Paul Gilmartin. That guy has some mental health. He wants to chat it up. He wants to chat up how your mental health is coming along.
He certainly does. Have you done his podcast?
I have not.
Maybe you're mentally healthy, and you don't need to.
People, I think, suspect I might be too mentally healthy to address. I'm like, no, you don't know.
Unlock my demon chest.
You don't know. Yeah. I mean, when you talk to Marin, he doesn't.
Oh yeah, when you do, yeah, I'm yeah, on his podcast. But yeah.
If well, and when you do, it will be because I did it super early before I thought anyone was going to ever listen.
Yeah,
and so yeah,
I so get it. Yeah. Like, what could possibly this is going to be fine? Possibly, why am I even worrying about this?
Why will this ever be an issue?
Oh yeah,
it's podcasting. It's 4 years ago. No one even knows what it is.
Yeah,
and so he opens a vein, right? I mean, that's his thing. He's like, I'm opening a vein. Would you like to? And you're like, yes, of course I would. And then you delve.
Someone has told me, actually more than one guest who've done both told me that, and I don't know Marin very well, and like he's done my festival a bunch, but I think for both of us, and this is, I mean, not to, I don't want to sound like I'm so busy and successful that I match him and therefore I don't recognize him. But for some reason, the facial recognition between the two of us is very poor. Like, I forget what he looks like and he forgets what I look like. So one or the other of us constantly reintroduces each other thinking we've never met. Well, and then when we're like, I'm like, oh, hey, I'm Janet. And he goes, I'm Mark. And then we both go, oh, Janet, Mark, what the fuck? We've seen each other like a million times. What are we doing?
Well, at least it's happening both ways.
It is happening both ways.
Because here's what I've discovered. I have probably 600 slots in my brain. If you have to be amazing to knock somebody out of one of those slots for me to recognize you. And if I talk to you all the time online, but I never see you.
Yes.
Or if I know we worked together for a week doing stand-up comedy, but it was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You are out of your tiny lizard mind.
I know.
Well, thinking also, I'm going to remember you.
Weird lives in that we are constantly meeting
people. Yeah.
Constantly. It is rough, man. I mean, that is really very true.
And I try people. To. I remember
I
them.
I know, right? And then
I
you
totally
see them. And then it's the whole sort of like taken out of context. That's a disaster too. Like somebody that you spent 6 weeks with, that you absolutely would remember if you saw them again in Vancouver or if you saw them again on the Fox lot or whatever. Suddenly you see them in a grocery store and you know that face.
Out of context. You're like,
no,
I got
idea
nothing.
How or why.
I got nothing. And then what was the, whatever. Yeah. Cause that out of context thing is crazy. There's no way. I ran into some woman in Phoenix who does stand up here and lived here, and I knew her here, and I hadn't seen her in 3 or 4 years. And she got mad at me because I didn't recognize her. And I was like, lady, you were very nice.
Everyone loves when you call them lady. That's like, a good way to get
lady.
Into it. I think you can only call someone that when you're yelling at them because they hit your car with their car.
Right. Well, it's very much because it's the kind of term where you're like, you're trying to be polite, but you just want to go, hey, asshole.
Yes.
It's not my fucking fault.
Yes.
Is what you genuinely want to say. One of the problems I also have is that people have these Twitter handles. You know, Breaker, 10-4, good buddy. What's your real name? Utsik.
Right.
Your name is not Utsik. Is it Utsik? Because it probably isn't. And that's probably not how you pronounce it, but that's your Twitter handle. And I have no... Your name is Bill. Please introduce yourself as Bill.
That's hard too. Yeah, that is weird because I do feel like, and I know that you're the same way. Again, we love people. We love interacting with the listeners of our podcast.
Sure.
Or, if, you know, in your case, people that you meet out on the road when you're
Jackie
doing comedy.
I'm Jackie Cation, by the way.
And, oh, hey, Janet Varney.
Hi. What nice to meet
pleasure.
You.
Pleasure.
And I do the Dork Forest podcast. That's
I'm very well
we gotta
aware.
Get you, we got to get you dorking out.
I'm very excited to do it.
Yeah.
I enjoy the dorkery like nobody's business.
What will you dork out about, I wonder?
Oh my gosh, there's so much. Not the least of which, I could sit and dork out about the New York Times crossword.
Oh, puzzles.
I could dork it up. Yeah,
okay.
I could seriously dork it up.
Is it just crosswords at this time?
Tear.
And, because is it just the crossword right now?
Right now, it's just, well, yeah. But I mean, like, it depends on how checked out I feel like being. Sometimes I have a hard time, just like many people in this incredibly media-saturated and gadget-saturated culture that we're in. I have a hard time even just watching television without doing something else now.
Oh, I can't.
I've kind of always been like that, though. Like, Chris used to call me Busy Bee.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just always was like, da-da-da-da-da.
Multitasking your head off.
But yeah, I'll do like a word search while I'm watching like Mad Men or something.
You know what? My mom used to do that when I was a kid. She would read during the commercials. But,
yeah.
And in retrospect, I think is she didn't want to talk to us.
Oh, maybe that's why.
We're watching television. No, I'm reading
now. I cut out the middleman and I am surrounded by no one. So I don't have that excuse.
You have dogs. You have two adorable dogs.
Yeah, guys, we'll get into the dog story when we're, but I something happens where I just end up doing all the talking on the podcast. I guarantee that's not going to happen.
Oh, I'll tell you.
It's not 100% true, but I do love the sound of my voice.
The one that just dropped with Carrie Brownstein at 45 minutes in, I said, hey, why don't I interview you?
Oh my God, it's hard sometimes because you know that your regular fan base understands like that they're kind of tuning in for you, but if somebody if I'm getting Dwarf Forest listeners or just Jackie Cation stand-up listeners coming over to listen to your episode and they're like, I didn't hear Jackie at all.
But
I only heard this girl.
Right,
you're in
your,
trouble.
Your listeners, you know, my listeners have heard the four stories that I'm telling this month. And your listeners, this is gold. This is brand new right
pure
here.
Pure gold. Mm-hmm, you can just unpack anything, any old material that you
sure,
think
I can go
to
the vault,
out.
Check somewhere in the back. What
Absolutely.
Are you looking for? Something in 8.5 and a
Let's
black?
Let's go through those card files.
Let's go
through those. What is that, the Dewey Decimal System? As
the
anyone
900s?
Under 30 just checked out and was like, I don't know what that is.
I remember.
That's how we used to do it in the library.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's get straight to this because this is very exciting. So I emailed Jackie. Listen, you guys, you know that almost every woman who comes on the podcast, it takes like a year from when we reach out and try to connect to make it happen because of schedules. Right. This is no exception. Jackie and I have been talking about this for at least a year.
At least 6 months off and on. Yeah. No, you're right.
I think it's been a year.
I think you're right because it was
It was beyond Last Sketchfest and we're getting close to that again. Right. So I'm saying it's around a year.
Hilarious.
And so I did that thing where I was up at Outside Lands Music Festival, was flying back, had lost all track of days of the week and time, and suddenly realized like, oh, I'm flying back on a Monday. Oh, I have an episode due on Thursday. Boy, I didn't set anybody up at all. I didn't make any plans whatsoever. And I usually have a couple of episodes backlogged, so I don't worry about it as much. And I also didn't have that. So the first person I thought one was like, I'm, you know what? I'm going to try Cation because we tried it in the past and,
it never
by the
took.
Way, I just spilled two things. I spilled, tea. And then while I was cleaning up the tea, I spilled sparkling water,
but that's good for the sparkling water.
Yeah,
they
spilled in two different places, but I've rectified it by now spilling the sparkling water where the tea was.
Well played.
So yeah, it was one of those like, there's no way this is going to work out because even when we try to plan way out in advance, it doesn't work out. But
yeah, this is better.
Totally
just I'm leaving today at 3 p.m. So yeah. I can't. Yeah, I was like, I could have done it late last night around 10 p.m.
Yeah,
or at 10 a.m., which is because of my podcast, I bought these adapters for these new lavaliers. This is a fascinating story. And I have to bring
technology.
Them back because they didn't work. They didn't work. Oh. And so now I got to go back to Radio Shack, make sure I find my receipt because you know how Radio Shack is three times as expensive as every other place?
Yes.
So I definitely want to take these adapters back.
Yeah.
Because they were $20 each for no reason.
Oh,
and because the ones I found that are going to work were $10 each with free shipping. Hello, B&H photo.
Get into that. I know. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I appreciate sometimes if it depends on how much I've been traveling. I'm usually like, and I know you travel a lot, but I'm usually more anal about traveling. And on days when I'm traveling, suddenly I can't be asked to do anything.
I can't do
anything.
I usually can't
do anything.
I really
appreciate you.
But this is, I'm just going home for family stuff.
No, let's get that is what I am getting to. Ugh. You were going home for family stuff, otherwise known as
my millionth high school reunion.
Oh,
it's gonna be sweet. Exciting. I am 1 million years old, and so this Saturday in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a little town, a little factory town outside of Milwaukee, my 30th high school reunion. I am 48 years old. I don't even know what to do with that number. And it's fine because I still feel like I'm 16. I'm lying here. And I sent you those pictures. You were like, send me pictures. I don't know if you saw the one.
I haven't looked at it yet.
It's a shitty Photoshop job of me blurring out my mother and my sister.
Oh, nice.
And
Protect the innocent.
But me, I'm almost sitting like this,
yep.
But with my legs spread wide open. And I'm wearing work boots and jeans because it's the winter.
Yeah.
And my mother is sitting next to me, clearly mocking my own posture, but it's fine. I posted it on Facebook too, because I was like, this is the silly, I don't even remember where we were. I don't know that couch.
Right.
I don't know where we were.
That's interesting.
It was so weird.
Doesn't that, I can't spend too much time tripping out on lost memories, but if I go down that road, it really weirds me out.
It's a rabbit
hole. To
think
that I myself was in a situation that I have absolutely no memory of.
And someone snapped a shot.
And someone captured it.
My father, because it was from all the slides that I had digitized.
Oh,
so it had to be, oh yeah.
Love
oh,
it.
Yeah. And so it means that it had to be him taking the picture, but I don't know where the hell we were. Where
that's
could we
so
have
interesting.
Been?
Okay, so is it this? So that's the same. Are you or your folks are still in that same town? And
oh yeah, my dad still lives there. And
were you born and raised there?
Yeah, yeah. There's South it's North. The kind of town that as soon as you become sentient, you're like, I have to leave,
yeah.
And get out of here. I just did the Lucille Ball Comedy Festival in Jamestown, New York,
uh-huh.
Which is where she's from, which is exactly the same town. And by the way, she almost never returned to it.
Yeah.
And it's a cute little town. I mean, it's the kind of town that you would move to if you wanted to raise kids somewhere off the grid,
mm-hmm.
but your kids would grow up and go, what do I do? Do I have to join the army to get out of here?
Yeah.
What do I have to do to get out of this town?
Yeah, like a town that Bruce Springsteen writes songs about.
Right. And it was funny because I have four brothers and a sister, and my dad was in the Navy. And when my brother started looking into joining the service to get out of that town, my dad was like, you could just leave, you know. You just, you don't have to join the service.
That is interesting. It's, what do you think breeds that idea?
That you got to get out?
No, that oh. you
the
have
only
to,
way
that
out?
Just that feels like a plan, I guess. It feels like a guarantee of some kind.
Oh, very much so. Yeah. Three hots and a cot. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, it, it gives you, plus there is the very real, it's not an illusion, an entire illusion that you're being of service, right? I mean, right. When you go into the service, they call it that because you're being of service.
Yeah.
And you should learn, I mean, you learn things. Supposedly it's, you know, it's an alternative to college. It's an alternative to all these different things that you could do. And that's fine. You could also just, I mean, if you're going to make $2.50 an hour, you could go to McDonald's in another shitty town and live there without your folks.
But that doesn't really sound like the most fun answer, right?
No. I mean, you're not, you know, you're not forced to wash your hands before dinner, which is what you are in the army. And you're not forced to, you know, have your clothing in order. And
he end up joining the service, by the way? Did your brother end up?
No, none of my brothers. Two of my brothers have physical disabilities. Okay. But one of them has a bad hip, and the other one has epilepsy. And then my other two brothers, my brother Phil, he in 1974, I think it was. So Vietnam winding down.
Yeah,
they don't, and the draft, I think, had either still going on or just been repealed. I think it had just been repealed. And my brother Phil, he said he woke up. This is his story. He's like 17 or 8, 17, I think. And so he wakes up and after a night of Seconal, he said, and Jim Beam in a bush in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And he's like, I need to join the army. And he walks into the army recruiting store, in the army recruiting place, and Captain, I think he said his name was Captain Bill or something. It was like he had his first
classic
name.
Classic, of course he did, yeah.
Because he's friendly.
Super approachable, yeah.
Yeah, and he said, so you want to join the army? And he goes, yeah. And he said, well, what do you want to do? And the only thing my brother knew about the army was a comic book he read when he was a kid about World War II called Sergeant Rock.
Okay.
And so he goes, infantry. And he said that the captain was like, oh, Christmas has come early, because you get a huge bonus if somebody's willing to just be a regular grunt. You know, it's not somebody who wants to join the Air Force or somebody
learn
who wants
to fly a chopper.
Right. I want to be jets.
Yeah.
My brother, he's like,
infantry.
And why he wanted to join the army was because he wanted to go to either. He said he wanted to either go to Germany or Thailand. Thailand for the heroin or Germany for the hash.
Please tell me that he revealed those reasons to Captain Bill.
Well, Captain Bill, these are the reasons he wanted, because he said, and then he would come back. This was his dream. He's like, then I would come back to South Milwaukee and I would be a drug dealer of repute.
Oh my.
Oh, it's a very blue collar. And luckily,
this sounds like a movie.
It sounds like a terrible B movie or the greatest indie film ever.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I'm almost imagining, like, you give Danny Boyle this, he could put like a really cool, weird spin on it. And
right.
Like,
so 2 weeks after he had, you know, my parents signed the papers because Phil was a giant drug addict. And they're like, this might help. This might help. Yeah. Get him on the straight and narrow. So everybody signed the papers. About 2 weeks or 3 weeks later, he graduated from high school barely, and then he was dropped by the army because he punched a cop. He got drunk and punched a cop. And granted, that in 2006 they would have just blown it off and go, "Yeah, let's do this." But or 1972, you know, when they couldn't get people to enlist.
They could afford to say,
but in 1974 or five, they were like, "We don't want you. We're good."
Yeah.
And so it's good because he ended up going to college and now he's a print salesman, the hopeful father of four.
And is he in Milwaukee as well?
He's in Minneapolis. Almost all of my siblings are in Minneapolis at this point.
Where do you fall in the?
I'm the very youngest. I have four older brothers and an older sister.
Okay.
And so my sister is 2 years older than me, and then it's like 2, 2, 2, 2. My oldest brother is 10 years older than I am.
Okay.
So,
your high school reunion, did you go to your other reunions?
I've never been to a high school reunion.
I haven't either.
And I never went because I didn't know those people in high school.
Yeah.
My Asperger's hump was well developed. And, you know, now I just have flare ups. And so,
I think there's some salves and some bombs for that.
I kept in touch with one guy and I was talking to him on the phone because, okay, first of all, the 1983 South Milwaukee Rocket Reunion is a Facebook group, right? So the people who are supposed to run this thing, the president or whatever, they're nowhere to be found. No one knows where they live, except for the one guy I'm still in touch with. But I've reconnected with a couple of people from high school, but I can't speak about not recognizing people in real life. It's going to be brutal on Saturday. And so, but the thing is they, the guy who ran it is some, he was a jock, I guess. And I didn't know him because I was in marching band and I was doing a lot of solo time. And but he published on Facebook a PDF of all 350 members of my high school names, addresses, telephone numbers, and email addresses.
Oh, no.
Hey, Grandpa, what are you thinking? Do you have their social security numbers? Because I'm hoping to start a small business out of Nigeria. What are you, nuts? And get this. Of the 350 people, he has highlighted in gray, or somebody has. It may not have been him, but has highlighted in gray everyone who's dead with their dead dates. Death dates. Not dead dates.
They're dead dates.
They're dead dates.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, what happened to Brian Gerard? What happened to him? What happened to Kathy Benoit? She died?
Yeah.
And then no cause of death. And so then you Google them, and it turns out an obit doesn't tell you how they died. They just told you that who survives them and, you know, when they died and stuff. And you're like,
that is macabre and a terrible idea.
A terrible idea, right?
What he published. That is crazy. So did anybody get, so it's just living on there?
It's just living on there.
He's got to take that down.
The funniest thing is like, I'm in the book. You could find me if you wanted to. No one has. No, I'm a very well-kept secret in show business, and there's absolutely no reason.
You know what? You're hoping. You're inviting it by putting yourself in the book. Well, perhaps this will crack open the
My mother came to Los Angeles one time, and I talked to her a couple of days after, and I didn't know she was here, because her sister lives down in Huntington Beach, and I call her up. She's my stepmother for like the last 40 years, right?
So she didn't tell you that she was coming.
No, she didn't. And she didn't call me when she was here.
Hi.
And so I call her, and she said, "Hey, I was in LA last weekend." And I said, "You know, I live in Los Angeles." And she goes, "Oh, you know, I didn't have your number." And I said, "You know, I'm in the book." And I was so mad. I was mad for months. I'm still, as you could tell, a little resentful.
I think you have every right to be. I think that's very surprising. But I love that she just tossed it out there. Like,
the idea that
she wasn't hiding it from you, right, that she was there and that it honestly didn't occur to her.
You know, when
clearly
my siblings visit Milwaukee and they don't want to hang out with my dad or my brother who live there, they don't tell them.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't mention it.
Exactly. It's so funny that she just casually tossed it off.
She's like, you know what? Yeah, I was there. Yeah, I was visiting my sister.
And
like,
how long had she been? Was she your stepmother? Like, when did your parents
split
up?
My mom died when I was 7.
Oh, your mom died.
Yeah,
I
and then my
that.
I didn't kill her.
It's, oh, God, that's very
I just
news.
Did a story at this this, it was called Love and Lust, and it was all about
I found that show.
Yeah. Yeah, right? And it's with Anna David.
Yeah.
And I
were
did,
you on this wait, we were on the same night?
No, this one that I just did. I've done it. This was the 5th time I've done it, and I was and it just dropped, as a matter of fact. And as a podcast, and it was a mess, this story, because it was so weird. Because I have 3 sex stories, and I've been on that show 5 times. So
what about the love part?
The love part. And so the last time and it's been actually an excellent writing, you know, because I have 3 standard, hey, this creepy thing happened, because that's really, the show thrives on that to some extent, right?
Right.
Some creepy sex story. So I have 3 of those bad life decision stories. And then the first one was this thing I did about sort of a sexual healing LARPing thing. And I moved it over to my stand-up. And so
I don't know if I know what LARPing is.
A live action role-playing game, it's a geek moment.
Boy,
it's a dress up
really
like play army. It's like
know.
Kids who grow up and they play sword fighting or army or Tarzan or whatever, you know, Batman.
I guess I certainly know what that is, but
it's a costume party.
I just outed myself
mechanics.
As not knowing. If you said cosplaying, I would totally know.
It's like a costume party with game mechanics. Yeah. Cosplay is just, I think, it can be sexual, but could also not be sexual.
Yeah,
it
can just be fan, like,
fan, hey, I'm going to dress up like Dragon Ball Z guy and the coolest wig in the world.
Yeah. But you don't necessarily, it's not as much like D&D where you would maybe like...
Where there's a game mechanic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm married to a game designer. And I do a show called The Dork Forest. So there's no not knowing.
Right.
About dorky things.
Right.
And they come out of the woodwork, too, like all these things. Okay, so then my stepmother, from when I was 8, is when my dad remarried very quickly. And and so she has been my stepmother for 40 years.
Can I ask how that felt to all of you? And how did you mind if I ask how she passed away?
Oh, it was not good. See, that was the thing. The last story I did was about Unforgiven, Unconditional Love. And because my mother was 33. The age of Christ. Coincidence? Mm-hmm. Yes.
She was 33 and she'd already had all of you. Wow.
Six kids from 16 to 26. And my father, classic old, old school dad, where he was like, well, I make the money and then I got to go. Yeah. And because there's all these kids. Right. And so he wasn't around, but he did the money until she snapped, essentially. And he snapped. And then at 29, they got separated. When she was 29, they got separated. And I was 4. And the last 3 years of her life, she partied like someone was trying to catch her.
Oh, wow.
And she died in a motorcycle accident.
Jackie.
I know. It was. But the thing is this is the story that was crazy. She was on a Harley Davidson. The joke there, of course, we're from Milwaukee, very proud. Could have been a Kawasaki. Imagine the neighbors. And the crazy thing is when I was 7 and she passed away, I remember genuinely feeling relieved because she was such a mess and so guilty that I felt relieved.
Of course.
Because I was 7.
Of course.
But immediately things got better, right? I mean, that's why you're relieved, right? And so, and no one talked about her after because she was such a mess. And I think she was just exhausted, right? Yeah. I mean, 6 years of...
Starting to have kids at 16 has to create like this weird... Like a mix of growing up too fast, but also arrested development, where like you just don't have any time to be a person.
Yeah, she never got to be 20. She never got to be 25.
Yeah.
And so when she was 29, she was like, I am going to seriously party. And so when she died, it's a horrible story. She was on this motorcycle with this guy, Harold, and they flipped off an overpass. They were drunk. And they fell onto the highway below and got run over by cars. Jackie. And so, but it was terrible. But the thing is, the cop comes to tell us that she's dead. And my dad is with him. And I say to my brother, Russ, who's that? And Russ goes, that's Dad, you idiot. And I was like, oh, Dad. All right. What's a dad?
So...
Because my father never visited in those 4 years because he refused to pay child support to my mother because she was just going to party with it.
Right.
So he would give it to my grandmother, his mom, and then all my older siblings would go to her house to eat for clothes and stuff like that.
God.
And I was 4, right? I was 5. I was 6. And so one of my older brothers would do all the like I ate buttered noodles for like 4 years. Oh. I did not enjoy a buttered noodle at this time. I am anti.
I'm not surprised to hear
I'm
that.
Not pasta. Not
you don't
my
have
downfall.
A lot of wonderful associations with it?
With pasta?
Yeah.
I don't mind pasta. Yeah. Like occasionally I'll eat it and I'll go, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And usually when it's homemade and lovely. But I mean, like immediately after she passed away, everything got better, right? There was no more hitting. There was no weird parade of gentlemen.
Mm.
And as my brother Phil puts it, he said, the very next day there was a loaf of bread and a bottle of milk in the fridge.
And so your dad was just like, oh, I guess I have to take care of these kids. I better find a wife.
Oh, immediately. Immediately. And
had he been dating anybody?
He'd been seeing Nancy for like 3 years and had never mentioned that he had 6 kids.
Oh, my God. So she just inherited 6 children.
Yeah. Which makes her, if you were going out with a guy for 3 years, you were living with him for like a year. And all of a sudden he comes back to the apartment and says, yeah, my wife died. I get the kids back. Would you then go, oh, well, then let's get married and let me raise those children for you? No.
That makes her sound like a saint.
A saint. It makes her sound like a saint. She was not a saint.
Does not want to come and see you.
Right. Well, and does never wanted children. She died last year. It was very sad.
Oh, my gosh.
Unexpectedly, much younger than my dad, 9 years younger than my dad. So she was like 67. And it was weird because she just, you know what? And the thing is that's the unconditional love part, you know, where you're like, because if you think about your siblings and your parents, you're like, I wouldn't hang out with them on purpose. And granted, you would miss things, right? I mean, there are great things that I get out of having disparate relatives, right? Mm-hmm. Like cousins that do different things than I would ever do, right?
Yeah.
And I would not benefit from the things that I get. But there are also, like, my oldest brother is an evangelist. There's no way on earth I would hang out with him.
Yeah.
He is the biggest bossy magoo about Jesus ever. And you're
bossy,
like, dude.
Magoo.
Yeah, the magoos. There's Chatty Magoo. There's Grumpy Magoo. And in his case, he is a bossy magoo. And he is a better guy than he used to be because of the church and everything. But he's so certain of himself.
Is he born again?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's born again and wants you to be.
Right.
And you're like, no. No, I'm good with the Jesus I've got. I don't need more. I don't need more. And the most hilarious thing in the world, 2 weeks ago, calls me up and he's like, so I'm publishing a new version of the Bible, a more easily readable Bible. And I'm like, keep talking. I do stand-up comedy. And I was like,
you're going to have to pay him a percentage.
Oh, no. The thing is it's like, he's like, well, no, I'm calling you to tell you a nice thing that happened to me. And I was like, I am sorry. Please continue. And he said, so I wrote a foreword to the Old Testament.
Oh, I love this so much.
I was like, you have, and I'm like, dude, you have balls the size of Gibraltar.
I know.
The Old Testament forward. Is the foreword to the thing that you are currently believing in. And what do you mean more readable? Are you just highlighting the things that you enjoy and agree? How is that? No one gets this joke, but I just think the cover is just him pressed against the glass ceiling. Because there's one more job that he desperately wants. But he's, you know, and other than the fact that he hates gay people and has to pray for our sister and her children. And it's so gross, right?
Yeah, that is rough, man.
It's impossible, right?
Hard.
And he's just like, I never dated anyone until I met my husband. Like, I had one college boyfriend. And he was a comic I don't recommend. Yeah. And we didn't know what we were doing and it was fine. And it ended relatively quickly. And I never had a boyfriend after that. 17 years, just getting an occasional whatever, getting laid. And it was not awesome. But it was, I decided I want a boyfriend. So I have my boyfriend, right? I do online dating. I meet a nice gentleman. I allow someone to be nice to me for the first time in my life, right? Mm. Like you do.
Yeah.
Like you eventually decide I actually deserve this, right? Whether it's a Lexus.
I'm glad that you decided that because I don't think some people do.
Some people do not. Yeah. Some people do not decide that they ever deserve someone. And they're like, no, I like bad boys. And you're like, no, you hate yourself.
Yeah, that's the flip side of that coin.
Yeah, it is not. Yeah, because Andy Ashcraft is a good man. He's an adult human being, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
And he makes video games for a living.
That's
so he is
awesome.
A fun guy, right? Yeah. It's just like, let's play games and then roll around like puppies, right? Yeah. And then super fun.
What I'm hearing.
Yeah, like it. Very sexy, very handsome. and I like him. He's very nice. But the thing is, I had never, as my sister said, she was like, you know, if you're going to wait 17 years to date anyone, Andy's the guy to wait for. And so I'm talking to my various siblings, and Andy and I moved in before we got married, right? Like you do.
Right.
And Terry, super sad on the phone, my oldest brother, the evangelist.
So disappointed in you.
So disappointed because I'm shacking up. I'm doing the devil's work.
Yeah.
In other news, shut up. how about I have something nice in my life?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's rough. The whole family thing, but also above and beyond that, not to like dwell on this too much, but it's hard when something, and I try to be mindful about this for myself, because I think there's like levels of proselytizing that creep in, you know,
whatever
like
you believe.
More, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so either I have like atheist friends in the comedy world who
12-step programs,
the program
veganism,
is very, very, yeah, anything that helps someone,
cat people.
Right? Anyone, anything that really brings people joy, parents.
Yeah.
Parenting.
Oh, right, right.
You know,
I mean, you and your crazy kid talks. Yeah.
But so everything, whatever brings you personal joy, if there's somebody that you care about, or I guess somebody that you
are
think
related
you should
to.
Care about
right.
or are related to, yeah, there is that sort of like, God, if only you could just be into what I'm into,
right,
you would
right.
be so much happier.
Which is what the Dork Forest is. It's like, sell it. Sell me why you keep bees.
Yeah.
Why? Why would you keep bees?
Yeah.
They sting you. And they're like, oh, because they're so amazing, man. And you're like, let me know. And that's the right place for it. You know, I've asked Terry to be on the Dork Forest. I was like, I want you to sell me your Jesus for 1 hour.
What did he say?
And he was like, let's do it. And then I go to Tucson and his kids are there and his wife is there. And I'm like, no, we can't. There's no auditing a Dork Forest recording.
Right.
Unless it's a live Dork Forest.
Right.
Right. Then it's a live performance.
Right.
Not just family. Not just another person. Right. Everyone gets a microphone if it's going to be like that. Right. Right. So.
Do they live in Tucson?
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I'm from.
You're from Tucson?
Uh-huh.
All right. Church of Terry. He has his own church.
Not planning on moving back there?
Nope.
Not planning on joining a church.
Because it's a beautiful town that you need to get out of.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
It's a good city. I don't...
No,
it could have been worse.
Could have been worse. Could have been Phoenix.
I would not relocate there. Definitely could have been Phoenix and wasn't, and I'm very pleased.
Whenever I'm doing Tucson in a couple of weeks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and that's... The reason I do that gig is to stay in touch with Terry and to hang out with the kids and, you know...
Well, bless your heart, because, you know, it would be really easy to, I mean, there's certainly plenty of families where, because people have such disparate interests and passions and things get a little bit fiery, you know, and feisty, that like they just choose to not be in contact with each other.
Well, that's, I mean, and the thing is all of my, I have spent most of my life trying to get my siblings to talk to each other and they're like, no, why don't you talk to all of them and then tell me how they're doing? Because they genuinely want to know. Hope it all works out. Like my stepmother. They're like, is Nancy doing all right? How's Nancy doing? No, I'm not going to call her. This is partially their fault, but it's also Nancy's fault. Because after Nancy and my dad got divorced, because they got divorced after 25 years, because my father had been having an affair with several ladies. My father had continued to date after. and so Nancy
uncommon.
Raised his kids. And then took care of his mother in her final years and her own mother. And then they got divorced.
Wow.
And after my grandmother's passed away. So my father, I mean, unconditional love is put to test every day sometimes, you know, like with my dad, with my stepmother, with my siblings, with, you know, because it's only with people that you're related to, like friends and lovers, there's always a condition. With people you're related to, you're like, no, I'm going to see that guy once a year, whether I want to or not.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that too, because, you know, I have a friend who's going through something really difficult, and there's a lot of sort of like anger and fear and sadness attached to, you know, where he is right now. And I think it's good to be around people like that, or to be of support to people like that, not only because we all go through that stuff, but also because it is this sort of constant checking in on how what micro version you might have of this like huge macro life experience they're having.
Right, they have a huge version of
exactly.
it.
Exactly, like, but it doesn't mean like, you know, when someone's like, I just feel so, I can't believe, you know, if it's you know, a girl who's had her heart smashed or whatever, and she's like lamenting, like, I just can't believe that he would throw everything away. I can't believe this over. I can't understand, or whatever. You can always call back something that you can relate to that with. And I've just been in this point of like, I've just been in this place of like, I just am really trying to own forgiveness. You know, I really want to own it, because when you really break it down, you know, you take these people in your life that you attach pain to, or you see them make bad decisions that hurt you or whatever. And it's so easy to put them almost in a weird way, to put them on like a hate pedestal, where you feel somehow like they're more Machiavellian and they somehow are like Darth Vadering everybody. And really it's just, they're fucking broken. Just like we're broken. And
it doesn't mean that
evil doesn't happen, but it's just like, oh my God, this guy who broke my heart is like,
just think
he's
about
all
how much,
messed up.
Right.
You know,
think about how much energy it takes to hate somebody.
Absolutely.
Right? All that real estate in your brain that you use, you're just like, no. And Dave Hill did this story at a storytelling show, Risk, I think you can find it online.
Yeah, about love it. Love right Risk, love Dave Hill.
Yeah, and when after his mom passed away, and he was there at her side, and he opened the story with the greatest line. He said, you know, all of my life, I've been very casual about death. You know, I'm like, people die, shit happens, it's the way it goes. And then my mom died, and it's an entirely different situation.
Yeah.
And it is with your parents, because you're like, intellectually, you know, your grandparents die before you. Your parents die before you. And you don't want it to happen the other way. You know, Nancy died last year, and my dad immediately was like, you know, I'm going to die. And I said, way to make it about you almost immediately, Pop.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's mourn her, and then we'll worry about you. Yeah. And you'll probably outlive us all because you've been smoking 4 packs of cigarettes a day for 40 years.
Naturally.
And of course, you're still alive.
Yeah. It's hard, but that's part of it too, is that we somehow, everything does come back to it being about us, right? I mean, it's we are solipsistic by nature. One of my dogs just farted. I don't know which one it was. It wasn't me, and I'm really, really sorry. And that doesn't happen very often.
Must have been gone deep.
I hope that it stays here and then dissipates. I hope, you know what? As a good host, I should suck in that smell. I should just sniff as much
as
I can.
Own your dog farts.
Process it for you, and then you won't.
And it's
have
not
to
your
smell
dog's fault. I'm sure if the older dog were awake, if the older dog were
don't
awake,
say that.
Yeah,
it probably was him.
He would have left the room.
Actually, he does do the toot and scoot.
Oh, does he toot and scoot?
Yeah, he does a toot.
It'd
and scoot.
It'd be nice if he scooted and then tooted.
Yeah, like I'd love person. It if he reversed it.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I don't know which one it is. I'm assuming that, I don't know why I'm assuming it's him. Maybe it's her.
I'm assuming it's him just because I'm not smelling it.
That's true. And he's closer to me.
You.
I'm pleased that they're getting along. And by getting along, I mean they're not fighting. They're not actively fighting.
Right.
But he's definitely, like wary of her, and he does a lot of looks to her and to me, or to me and to her. There's a lot of communication happening silently where he looks at her for a while and then he looks at me like, really? So she's just going to be here now? That's what we're faced with?
That's what we're just...
Or he'll look at me and then he'll sort of cast a look over to her and then look back at me like, I'm
Think
so
about it though, is we had some friends of Andy that are very lovely people, and they got someone sold the house that they were renting. And so they were kind of not homeless, but homeless, right? They had to find a place. They have 3 kids and they have to find a place that's near a school that the school the kids go to.
Uh-huh.
And
that's so stressful.
Is walking distance because the mom doesn't drive. And the dad, during this time when they're looking for a place to live, is driving the kids to school, driving to work, working all day long, picking the kids up from school, driving them home, and then going back to work for another 4 hours.
Oh my gosh.
So very stressful, right?
Yeah.
So they stayed with us for a month. 5 people.
Yikes.
2 parents, 3
You're
children.
A saint.
We have a 2-bedroom, 966 square foot house.
I am amazed and impressed.
The children, they were 8, 10, and 12, I believe. So they're not babies. Are stacked like cordwood in our guest room. And right, they're all in the guest room sleeping like puppies.
Yeah.
Right. And then the parents are on our blow up thing in our living room. And then, but they're the best guests in the world.
Oh,
right.
That's so nice to hear.
Right. They every day the parents clean up the living room and everything's out of the way. And granted, I was on the road for most of this 3 weeks. Yeah. And so I'd come back and I'd be like, and it was actually a super busy month for me. So I was only home probably 4 or 6 days. Yeah, it did help out because, you know, Andy had our room that he could, you know, because as much as he loves, these people are lovely.
That's rough. I get stressed out if I have a guest for more than like 4 days. One guest and I live alone.
Right, right.
Oh,
is this your guest room?
I'm such a lone wolf. I guess this would be my guest room, but that's tricky, right? Because this is where like all of my stuff is. Like that's where my laptop, you know, my desk, my office.
It's your office and then your
TV.
And,
yeah. So I can kind of just work on my laptop.
This is such an adult home. Well played.
Thank you. I'm such a grown-up.
You're a grown-up. This is not IKEA. There are no milk crates.
You know what? I'll tell you right now that bookshelf is IKEA.
Is that bookshelf IKEA?
It's a combo.
Nice.
It's a mix of grown-up and kid. But
yeah.
Let me ask you too, because I knew this was going to happen, because I know we could just talk about this for like 3 hours.
Right?
We don't get anything for 3 hours between the two of us. But before I get into the games and stuff, which will come a little bit later, I would love to. I mean, listen, we're going to play a game of MASH. There's no getting around that. That is like my favorite thing
MASH.
To do. I want to read something from a listener that I will probably involve you in and do at least a couple of these things with you, because it'll be fun. So
fun.
I might launch into that soon. But I want to get a little bit more context of your adolescence, because, you know, because you're going to this high school reunion, because you said, you know, you really have only kept in touch with one person. I'd love to get sort of a snapshot of what you were like, you know, freshman, sophomore,
okay,
junior, senior.
So,
we know that you didn't have a boyfriend.
No, I didn't have a boyfriend. All I did was read. I'm doing a bit about, essentially it's called Spooky Reading Girl. What happened in eighth grade was all I did was read. That's all I did. Yeah. And I wasn't allowed, when our mom left, there was a new rule instituted. No more hitting. No hitting each other. You can't hit. We're not going to hit you. It's all going to work out.
So that was happening all around.
Yeah. So that was good though, right? Yeah. That sounds great. Except for they didn't tell us what to do with our now bottled rage.
Oh,
my brothers,
boy.
Drugs, alcohol, and the ladies.
Yeah.
I was seven. So I started reading and that's all I did, right? I'd walk around and read and read and read. And so in eighth grade, there was, and you know how in eighth, I don't know what your eighth grade was like, but in my eighth grade, girls would fight. There'd be like,
yeah, I was just talking about this with someone. I just said recently, like, junior high was much more rough and tumble, and there was a lot more anger.
It was a lot of girl on girl crime happening.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, high school and grade school, boys would fight,
mm-hmm.
but for some reason, like 2-3 years, girls would beat the hell out of each other.
Yeah,
and I didn't get into fights because there was no hitting. I was reading and I didn't have any social skills anyway, so it was fine. And but in eighth grade, a smaller girl came up to me. I wish I could remember her name because she might be there this weekend. But she comes up and she's like, hey, the burnout girls are going to beat me up after school. Will you come and stand next to me while it happens?
Oh, no.
And I was like, wait, now why would that be something? And I'm reading.
Oh.
And she's like, well, just for moral support, because they have a gang.
Oh, my God.
Right.
This is so sad.
But hilarious, because I was like, well, that's probably what a friend in my book would do if I had any friends. So I go with her, and I'm standing next to her after school, reading, standing next to her, reading, waiting for the fight to begin, reading, waiting for the fight to begin.
Do you remember
the fight
what you
never
were
begins? I was reading at that time over and over again a series. I was reading all Civil War historical fiction.
Oh. I don't know what I expect you to say, but
that
was not it.
Not that.
You know what I was waiting for you to say was like, because I just listened to this This American Life episode where this kid ran away to Piers Anthony's house
yeah.
in Florida.
Oh, right.
So I was waiting to hear say, like, I was reading The Unicorn.
The Chosen.
Yeah.
And, or something. No, I was, in junior high, I read,
Civil War
historical fiction. I read a lot of historical fiction.
I gotta be honest with you. I didn't think I knew that was even a genre.
French and Indian Civil War. and
you're
Napoleonic. Sure. You
didn't get into like Judy Blume.
No, I never did. In grade school. Well, I read all dog books and horse books. I was that kid,
wow.
right? In junior high, it was all historical fiction. And in senior high, a lot of Harlequin romances.
You did?
Oh, yeah. Harlequin, because I used to steal them from Kmart.
Okay.
Because if you had more than $10 in fines at the public library, you couldn't check out any more books. And I had a hard time returning the books. And then I'd have to wait until I had $10 so that I could pay it back. So I would just
adorable.
Go steal books from either the library, which I would then return, which is interesting, or Kmart, and then not return them.
Interesting.
You would think I would just bring them back when I was done.
Yeah.
But no, I would throw them out because that is what you do with a Harlequin romance when you're done reading it. You throw it out.
Was that your sort of window into this like sort of world of feelings and sexy stuff that you didn't experience
else? Yeah, nowhere else. Nowhere else was it being experienced. I read all of, you know what, I think in ninth grade I started reading Barbara Cartland, which were historical romance novels written by...
best of both worlds.
Oh, it's the worst though because they were religious. They were
religious?
Yeah. So all they did was they would get married on the last page and kiss.
Stand close to each other,
and that's
kind
it.
Of.
Sort of.
That's
touch hands.
Really funny.
It was lame. Lame.
You never got into like sci-fi, horror, that kind of stuff?
Not till college.
Okay.
Not till my brother... I still don't read horror because it's scary, it turns out. And I
went through a real
spate horror.
Of horror when I was... in college. Yeah. When I was in college, because I worked at this, some very interesting retail jobs when I was younger. And not the least of which was, I worked for a place called Grand Canyon Railway, which just sold tickets to a round trip that you can take, not even from Flagstaff where I was going to school, but from a different city to and from the Grand Canyon. But you could purchase tickets in Flagstaff because it was like a larger metropolis.
Sure.
And so I just sat in this place selling, like occasionally we would sell, I don't even know how they were in business, occasionally selling tickets to this train trip. And the other stuff that they
downtime.
Had was like a lot of, tons of downtime. There was like a bunch of old Coca-Cola memorabilia, apropos of nothing.
Sure.
And then like some model trains and some small train cars. And I had nothing to do but read, and I didn't want to do my schoolwork. So I would go over to the bookstore across the street and just buy Dean Koontz books and Stephen King books, because I would blaze through those Harlequins.
I've only read one Dean Koontz book, and I've tried to read Stephen King, but they get really scary.
Yeah,
though
scary.
I got for my birthday the Kennedy one. 11-whatever-63.
Uh-huh. I don't even know. Is that Stephen King?
That's a Stephen King
anything
historical
past
fiction
1995
book.
Of either of those authors, I wouldn't even know.
This is a time travel historical fiction book that Stephen King has written.
Okay.
And I do read... The only horror I read to this day is... comic books,
okay,
graphic novels and
when
stuff.
When were you reading graphic novels when you were in college? Is that when?
No,
that started,
no. I just got my
recent?
Husband was my native Sherpa, and because he'd leave them sitting around, and it only takes 20 minutes to read a comic book. So if you don't like it, you're like, oh well, that was only 20 minutes that I ruined.
Yeah,
and weirdly enough, I could read, and I read a lot of comic books now. I'm on board. I am like picking titles. I am picking authors. I am picking artists. And Lock and Key is written by Stephen King's son, whose nom de plume is Joe Hill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So.
Yeah, I haven't really delved into the world of comics, but certainly a lot of people in my life do.
Yeah. So junior high and high school.
What was that about, that historical fiction fascination? Because it's just interesting to think. It's like, I like the idea of, I mean, not to, you know, package it up into a neat little bow, but the idea of like the phases of the kinds of books that you're obsessed with as a reader and as a person who's sort of socially introverted.
Yeah.
Just wondering like what the parallel is running through.
I don't know. When I was a kid, it was all, you know, I read all the Hardy Boy books and all
the Nancy Drews.
I didn't read Nancy Drew until college.
And you're not a lesbian.
And I'm not a lesbian. I know. I was always furious. That picture that I sent you, I look like a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah.
In that picture. I am sitting like this, just wearing work boots and flannel.
Yeah.
Because there was a certain point where my stepmother, she tried to dress us very cute, and we allowed her through junior high, through grade school, rather.
Yeah.
And in junior high, it just all fell apart, and she was just like, whatever, wear your weird lesbo clothes.
Did you get teased? I mean, were there a lot of people in that community that just like kind of
this
were...
guy on Facebook was like, we used to just tease the hell out of you, and I was like, I have blocked that, but thanks for bringing it up, jackass. And I had this idea that at this event, if anybody just, you know, makes fun of me or anything, I'm like, you realize what I do for a living is I mock things.
Yes.
This will not end well for you.
You're right.
If you want to go there.
I know how to do this.
This is something
professionally.
I do for a living.
Exactly.
It'll be fine. Which is interesting because that worked. And a lot of people, this doesn't, like my dad, when I first started doing stand-up, when I was about 20 or 21, I'd been doing stand-up for a couple of years, and I was in the car with my dad, and my dad has always made fun of my weight. He's always made fun of everybody's weight. It's something he makes fun of. He thinks it's hilarious. And so I told him to not. I said, you know what? It actually hurts my feelings. If you could not do that, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, you know, I'm just kidding. And I said, yeah, what I'm saying is that it hurts my feelings.
Don't kid.
And not funny. And if you do it again, I'm going to make fun of you. And I do it for a living, and it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, okay, but I'm just telling you, I was just kidding. I said, right, I get that.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is don't do it. And he goes, yeah, all right. And then there's this pause, and he goes, just kidding. But here's the greatest thing, and I told a therapist this one time, is he's never made fun of me since.
That's great.
She was like, Jackie, do you realize how rare that is? That a parent would hear that and actually act on it? And I said, well, I made it very clear.
Yeah.
That the first time he did it, I was going to hit him back.
Oh my gosh.
And
I'm so curious what you would have said, like what you would have chosen to make fun of.
Well, the thing is 20 minutes of my act is about him.
Okay.
So it's so funny to me because I do make fun of him.
You could just let her rip.
I make fun of him already. He could make fun of me, I guess, just because I make fun of him. But he's so funny about it because he's like, well, if it gets you work, do whatever you want.
Oh, always looking out for your best interest.
Yeah, you just, it's always.
Oh my God. Well, let me do, I'm very
Let's
excited
do it.
Because
do
I have
business.
This new fortune teller that Victoria sent me that I get to crack open and use maybe for the first, maybe second time.
It's the finger thing.
Yeah, right? So there's a lot of different names for this. These guys know It's been called many things, a cootie catcher being one of them.
Okay.
But this is now being called a fortune teller, which actually doesn't really work for our purposes because there's a question inside here rather than a fortune being told.
Yeah, usually it's a question.
So pick a color.
I pick red.
R-E-D. Pick a number.
8.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
One more number?
Yeah.
4.
4. Okay. 4. Oh, okay. If you were an only child, did you want siblings or vice versa? So we know very well that you are not an only child. I am. You're
an only child.
You had many siblings. And did you wish that you had none?
No, but I have 2 siblings who have always wished that they had none.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually, that's not true. My sister, when she was 9, when my mom died, she was the only 9-year-old who would pore over the real estate section looking for a house. And I'd be like, for all of us? And she said, nope. Just for me. And I was like, wow. And then she'd pause and she'd go, you can live with me.
And that's very generous of her.
Yes. Because we were the 2 youngest and we were both girls and we're the only girls. And my grandmother was always like, you have to be friends. Sisters, you have to be friends.
Yeah.
And so Darla
did that. Maintained through the years?
Yeah. Yeah. That's she's cool. my easily my best friend or one of my best friends. Yeah.
Is she, she's in Milwaukee or she's in Minneapolis
as well. She's a socially conscious financial advisor.
I forgot that I need a pen. Hold on.
You need a pen? So in junior high, that's the thing about having siblings is that both my brother Russ and my sister insisted that, and my parents, I had to be in band. I had to take an instrument in third grade. Well, in second, I think it was in third grade, I tried viola and my sister had played violin. And it turns out stringed instruments are very hard.
Oh, they're hard as heck. Yeah.
And so I quit viola very quickly. Darla hilariously was like, we can quit. And she had just furiously practiced for like 3 hours a day just to make our parents mad. And she became really good at it. Hilarious.
There's nothing like learning something for spite.
Exactly.
Doing something. Right.
So I switched to clarinet. And so I was in band. And then I was going to quit in 9th grade. And Darla was like, you make it to high school, you'll love marching band. And she was correct.
Oh, you did.
Yeah. And then, but the thing is, she was student council president. My brother Russ was student council president. My brother Scott was student council president. And Terry and Phil were drug dealers of repute. Anyway, so, but the...
Everybody was kind of a big deal in their own
pretty
lives.
Successful. Yeah. Pretty successful. And then Darla insisted that I take debate, forensics, student council. And I was like, I don't want to be student council president. I don't want to even be in student council. And she was like, well, you have to be in something. You have to do something because you're going to college. Right. And I was like, am I? I don't want to. And she's like, I'm going to college. You're going to college. And my brother Russ, who's older than the 2 of us, said, I'm going to college. Darla's going to college. You're going to college.
Okay.
And then my 3 older brothers, it was, and so I was editor of the school newspaper.
I mean, your life, had you been an only child, like there's no even, it's completely the polar opposite and nothing could ever have been the same if
right.
you were an only
right.
child.
Right, I have
it's
no
so
regrets. I wouldn't change anything because I think if I change something, my life would be fundamentally different.
How profound of an influence your siblings had on you just kind of blows me away.
It's crazy.
I'm leafing through all these different things, which I apologize
things.
For.
No, go for it. What's MASH? What's the MASH thing?
Okay, so let's do the MASH
game.
Because
I love MASH.
So you know how to play MASH, yeah?
No.
Did you play it when you were younger? Oh, I don't mean MASH. Okay, then you really don't know. I don't mean MASH
the
TV show or movie way. I mean that this is a game that we used to play when we were little. We being many of us, but not you. You were too busy reading. Wherein this stands for mansion, apartment, shack, or house.
Oh.
And I have categories. And by the end, by process of elimination, we're going to do like an eeny, meeny, miny, moe kind of thing.
Okay.
You will end up with a crisp, new fantasy future.
Oh, there you go.
That will involve some of these different things that I'm about to ask you. So I'm going to give you categories and you're going to pick like...
Is the government going to steal me away and make me work out and become La Femme Nikita? Because that's my fantasy.
Okay, that's my first... That we'll just pull that right into the first thing.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So you have... you have to live a life... 3 different types of lives of intrigue. So
okay.
One of them could be a Femme Nikita type of a thing. But
sure.
You have to get pretty specific because I'm making the category. category specific. So okay. you're about to have a new life, something that is, yeah, that's sort of under the radar and dangerous. What are those three new lives?
Okay. One is, I would be a cowboy.
Okay.
One.
Love it.
I would be an explorer in Africa.
Okay.
And one, I would be a spy, but I would use my powers for good.
Okay. Good spy.
A good spy.
Okay. You can go into any era of historical fiction, like
any part of history?
Yeah, and sort of live an interesting, sort of a parallel universe life. You can stay there as long as you want to. You can go to and from if you want to. You can kind of dip a toe into it for a day, but three different eras that that you can be a part of.
Okay. China in the early 1800s.
Love it. And why?
Because it was the opium trade, and it was super just fascinating. I mean, it just fascinates me, the idea that there were these powerful centralized government in China that genuinely had no power locally. It was just sort of this umbrella thing that everybody was like, yeah. Anyway, I'm going to grow opium. And so,
okay.
I would want Rome in the early, it would have to be like the Senate before Caesar.
Okay.
Before Caesar, because it was more of a republic.
God, these are the best answers I ever could have wished for.
And Athens, I would have to go, wait, no.
Get one more.
I know it. Early 1700s in Wisconsin.
Ooh, okay.
Living with the Ojibwe, because they like me and they're willing to teach me their ways. I've always wanted to learn how to camp. It turns out that if I actually went back in time, I would die of exposure, because you can't teach yourself how to camp. It's not up close magic.
I agree, and that's why we have this MASH game, because we can create this fantasy world where you don't have to worry about any of the diseases that ravaged everyone and killed exactly. everyone when they were 5 years old. Okay, so next is you can make
fun game.
You can go into three games. Game like an online game, or even
board
like a role playing
game,
or a board game.
Well, Zelda.
Great.
Gotta go into Zelda. Check it out.
Love it.
Final Fantasy Legend.
Great.
And I would like to go into Monopoly and overthrow it, because Monopolies are not okay. Monopolies are not okay. You're breaking the... What I would do is I would wander around Monopoly going, you know what? You realize if there's a Monopoly, you're breaking the economy. Don't break the economy. Don't break the economy.
Yeah, people are getting the wrong lesson when they're playing Monopoly. Exactly. That's for damn sure. Well, this is a delightful game of MASH so far. I don't know how I'm going to ever top this. Next category would be if you could... have a second home anywhere presently in the world. Three places you would like to have, like a vacation home.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, it's got to be, it would have to be in Wisconsin.
This is adorable.
I would want one sort of on the lakefront in Wisconsin, outside of Milwaukee.
Sounds great.
I guess I would want one. Yeah, Melbourne.
Great.
Melbourne.
I'm about
neat.
To go there for the first time. I've never been. I've been to New Zealand, but not Australia.
I've never been to New Zealand, but I've been all over Australia. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And they're doing good work with a meat pie there. They're doing good work with a meat pie.
Great.
And also, I love Australian rules football, which is kill the guy with the ball.
Uh-huh.
And the athleticism is amazing. It's just...
That's certainly true.
Yeah.
It's a sporty bunch down there.
Oh, my God.
Sporty bunch.
There's some sit-ups happening.
Uh-huh.
And... Mm-hmm. And Phillips Island, you could see tiny, tiny penguins pad in from the sea and go to their nests. They have bleachers set up.
I like the sound of this.
You got to take a bus, but if you're going to be there for more, you know, you should do it a week.
You know what's probably going to happen is I'm probably going to go to Melbourne. And then over to the South Island of New Zealand, because I only got to see the North Island. So I really want to go to Christchurch.
Oh, neat.
And yeah, because the second event I have to do is in Auckland. So I've been to Auckland. So I probably won't spend that much time in Australia I probably will just fly to
But Melbourne is beautiful. Melbourne is because it's weirdly Victorian English architecture.
That's cool.
With a super new world kind of what's happening?
Yeah.
And so I mean it's a beautiful city with super modern normals. Anyway, so
So Lakefront, Wisconsin, Melbourne.
Melbourne and New York. I want a
like
doorman
Manhattan,
building.
New York?
Oh yeah.
Great.
I would have to be, it'd have to be a doorman building. And just cuz I'm picky.
Okay, doorman building. As noted.
As noted.
As noted with a scrawl that I will never read, be able to read what I just wrote.
I gotta say Upper West Side.
Upper West. Again, we'll not be able to read that, so you have to remember. You brought up the meat pies. I got to go with one of my favorite classic questions. Three foods that you can eat as much as you want of whenever you want without any ramifications.
Chicken. I love
in what
roast
form, any form?
Chicken.
Roast chicken.
Roast right. chicken.
That's not even that bad for you.
No. Luckily, chicken is my downfall and not cake.
Yeah,
and
same.
Not, a giant thing of icing.
Yeah.
I think booze.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. any specific preference?
Nope. All of it. Hollow leg. Yeah. And so... It would be it'd be nice to just get drunk and never have blackouts and never drive and get arrested and never
you mean all the things you do now.
Yeah, right. Dude right. sobbing in a corner. These things. No one wants any part of that. So chicken, booze, and what else do I really like? Ramifications. I guess it'd be pie. I like pie.
Yeah, good old pie.
Good old like...
Savory and sweet, huh?
Yeah.
What's savory. Your favorite sweet pie?
It used to be pumpkin and now it is some sort of berry. Mm-hmm. I like a berry pie. Not the creepy strawberry pie where there's no cover to it and they barely cooked them.
That's like a tart.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah.
That's a bowl of sugared strawberries in a pie crust.
Correct.
Whatever. I enjoy like a blackberry pie or a blueberry pie.
I love cobbler too.
Oh, cobbler's pretty good. Like a bready dessert.
Hot cobbler. Delish.
I enjoy a bready fruity dessert.
Pie. This is a good one. Very, very good. Let's try, do you enjoy Disneyland?
Yep.
Three Disneyland rides that come to life.
Oh, that would be real?
Yeah.
Star Wars.
Love it.
The Rocket.
Oh, very cool.
And Roger Rabbit.
I love your choices. They've never been chosen before.
Oh,
not that
go.
I've done that category that often, but
right.
those are three that have not been said, and they're excellent, excellent choices. I'm just looking through some of my old MASH ones. You can trade places with someone for a day.
Oh, just for a day?
Yeah.
A
week. You'd be someone else for a
but
week.
Finite. I get to be
finite.
Me again.
Yeah.
Because I want to be me.
It's just
me.
A fun swap. It's like
just a fun swap.
Yeah.
It would be very cool.
That's a hard question.
It is a hard
really
question.
Hard time with it when it was asked of me recently in a letter.
Yeah, yeah. How do you pick that?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's the flippant answers. Michelle Bachmann, eat a bullet. There's Hillary Clinton, but 25 years ago. It'd be like, or Angelina Jolie, just to feel what it would be like to be La Femme Nikita.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I love all of those answers. I mean, I think those are really great answers.
Just do...
I'm putting Jolie down for sure.
Yeah, Angelina Jolie. That's fine. That'll be good.
Hillary Clinton 25 years ago. I'm totally into it.
Sure, sure.
Do you want to take a bullet and as Michelle Bachmann?
Nah,
or do
I'm
you
good.
Wanna yeah.
I don't need to. Do I need three?
You need one more.
Oh, I do need three.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michelle Bachmann. Eat
Great.
A bullet. What the
that
heck? What would it be like to kill yourself in somebody else's body?
God.
How creepy would that be?
It's so dark. I love it. No one is saying that Michelle Bachmann deserves to die.
No one.
Jackie Cation.
No one is. I will not be. And not a violent person. Not even.
Okay, and then my last one would be three places or three oh you know what three people that you would love to have do your podcast that it the most the
oh
most
my God.
Unlikely because it could be dead people too or people from
Dick
fiction.
Cavett
love it. You could get him. I know Dick.
What?
Yeah, I know Dick Cavett. I mean, I would have to remind him who I am, but he did our festival.
Have access to Dick Cavett? Yeah. Okay, well then why don't I just mention people that you know that you could probably get? I'm hoping to get Lily Tomlin.
I don't know Lily, but
I know someone who knows Lily Tomlin.
To get Lily at the festival. That'd be neat. And to do the podcast. And, well, yeah, Chris podcasted her, and I was like, I got to get on that. But you don't want to, I don't like to exploit like my
friendships there's only
that
so much.
Yeah, I don't want to
It's a one-off.
Yeah.
the thing is, you could do it sort of once.
Yeah.
Chris would help you once, and then you're like, and Nathan Fillion.
Oh, listen, this is all possible.
All right.
I mean, listen, I don't know what I'm saying, but I mean,
right.
I do know
But
Nathan.
We can give it a shot,
I do know
is
Dick
what
Cavett,
you're saying.
I do know Nathan Fillion, and I do not know Lily Tomlin. Okay, so now you're just going to, what I'm going to do is draw a spiral. You don't have to see it. You just have to tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, I'm going to take a brief pause, do a process of elimination with my eeny meeny, with my 8, and come back and reveal your new future.
All right.
Jackie Cation, are you ready to meet your future?
My future.
I always got to figure out where to start. I think I'm going to go ahead and start with the fact that you have a beautiful apartment in Melbourne as your second home.
Oh, sweet.
So I wish that I would have given you the power to like teleport so that you don't have to withstand that flight every time you wanted to go to your vacation home.
Right.
But you can go there for like 3 months at a time.
Right.
And just relax and enjoy yourself. So congratulations on that. You actually do a lot of traveling because your other life involves exploring Africa.
Oh, excellent.
So you are going to be out on the road quite a bit when you're not living inside of Final Fantasy Legend. So there's a lot of adventure happening.
There's a lot
In
of
fact,
adventure.
This is adventure to the hilt because you can also travel back into early 1700s Wisconsin.
Oh, very nice. How beautiful would that be? That'd be
so
pretty.
You're going to learn how to camp. God damn it.
That's it.
And you're not going to die of exposure. I want to congratulate you on having Lily Tomlin on your podcast.
Oh, excellent.
That's the good one because I might be able to help you with the other two. So
that's
the one that you really need the most mash with.
Yes.
I'm really zipping through these because I do have someone coming here to clean the carpets that my dog shit on, everyone. I'm just going to be very honest with you. That's happening at 11:30.
And my flight leaves.
And you have a flight.
Yeah.
So we've covered Explorer in Africa. We've covered apartment in Melbourne. We've covered going back to early 1700s Wisconsin or Final Fantasy Legend. I want
Lily
to also acknowledge that Star Wars is real and that you're able to enjoy intergalactic adventures as well.
Sweet!
So you are going to be exhausted. The good news is when you need to unwind, you can drink as much alcohol as you want.
Don't even tell
me
that.
No ramifications, no consequences. But ultimately, I hope you enjoy your life. You're also going to get a taste of the ultimate adventure and the ultimate mystery when you take a bullet as Michelle Bachmann. So you will travel to the feeling of death and back.
Finally, I'll get to know what it'd be like.
The ultimate adventure.
That is the ultimate adventure.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
She sees the fires of hell that she believes in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I check out. Yeah. I'm like, and we're back.
And we're back. And you've got all of your myriad of other places that
hilarious.
You can adventure.
That's so much fun.
This was a blast. I could
that
have done
so
three more hours with you.
I know it. That was awesome.
What a joy.
I'm you know what I brought that we didn't talk about at all?
I know. You brought all
it's
this great stuff.
A copy of my journal from when I was...
Oh, no. Okay. We're going to have to do a part two of this episode.
When I read Harriet the Spy when I was 8, I started writing a journal. And when I was 13, my parents told me I was insane. And the TV show MASH, Sidney Freeman wrote to Sigmund Freud. And so I wrote to Sigmund Freud for 7 years as my journal.
Okay. I'm going to have you back... And we'll have a journal off because I've never read from my journal, but I kept a journal from 8 until like 20s.
Yeah.
So we'll have like, we can read old journal entries together. That would be
That'd
really
be awesome.
Okay, good.
I'm
just high fived. I hope that was audible to everyone.
Audible high five.
And the only last thing that I want to do is just acknowledge I have a JV club, junior varsity club advice section. And this is actually kind of the reverse of this. I got a beautiful letter from my listener, Patricia, who is 58 years old, and she actually is giving some advice rather than asking for it. But I thought that was kind of wonderful. So she says, as a twice divorced 58-year-old woman who is now trying to build some financial stability after raising four kids, I have learned the two most critically important life lessons. I hope they will make it onto an episode one day. Well, today is the day, Patricia. I hope young women might not have to learn them the hard way as I did. Number one, always have your own money. Real money. Money for at least 6 to 12 months living expenses.
Okay, two, Susie Orman.
Listen, two, use sunscreen every day. Start a good skincare regimen now. And remember to include your throat and hands. Those are two very key, very important
things. She's right.
Things.
She's dead right.
I couldn't agree more. And I love that I have listeners all the way from, you know, junior high, high school, all the way up through into their 60s. That makes me very, very happy. And I thank you for sharing. As always, guys, I adore you. I love that you weigh in so often. And Jackie, thanks again for doing the podcast. Have a great flight today. And I can't
wait. Thank you very much.
That's the other thing we'll talk about when you come back is how your high school reunion was.
Oh my gosh. Oh yes. And listen to the Dork Forest where I'm sure I will dork out.
Please do, guys. And catch Jackie when she is out and about doing stand-up comedy.
Stand-up comedy. Tucson, funny and talented. San Francisco, upcoming.
Those are two cities that I lived. You just named two of the cities that I lived.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon next time on the podcast. Bye. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.